Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. All right. I'm glad to be here too. You know, I was thinking, can you imagine sitting with your girlfriend out by the lake and looking up and see Brother Ray Young with his face right against the glass, staring at you down? No wonder nobody messes around out there. Scare you to death. But take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I am forever, ever grateful to this college for many things, but I was asked just before chapel, do I ever get nervous preaching here? And I said, I get nervous every time I preach. I don't know why. It's the one place that I preach that it's a blessing, but also ruins my day. I can hardly do anything else throughout the day until chapel time. I know it ruins your day too. But I remember each time is like the first time I've ever preached here. It just feels that same enthusiasm, but yet also that nervousness, because I know who I'm preaching to, and I feel that the great future of this country and even world sits in this room. And I've always felt that. I felt that as a student. I felt it the first time I ever preached here. I feel it today. But this is a blessing. I appreciate the applause. Those always mean a lot to every speaker that comes up. Makes you feel like somebody, but you know you're not. I was just a couple weeks ago, I was with my grandson, Timmy, who was in your Sunday school class. And he, 10 years old, he went with me to a camp up in Michigan to preach. And Brother Jim Green and a group of churches from Michigan gather every year for a week of camp. And I took Timmy with me. And it was Thursday night, and he had made a couple friends throughout the week, and one of them was sitting between him and me on the front row before I was getting ready to preach, and Pastor Green got up, and he said, I want the ushers to come tonight. We're going to take an offering tonight. And I watched Timmy reach in his pocket, and he pulls out a dollar. And I thought, oh, that's pretty neat. He's going to give him the offering. Didn't make him do that. That was pretty neat. And I must be a good granddad or something like that. And Brother Green said, we're going to take the offering, be a love offering for Brother Lapina. So every dime that we give tonight will go in, be for his love offering for him. So I kind of looked down and watched Timmy out of the corner of my eye, kind of thinking he's never taken a love offering for his pap before. And I looked down, and all of a sudden it hits him, you know. This is all for him. And he leans over, he says, pap. I said, what? He said, everything that comes in is going to you? I said, yeah, I guess so. You get all of it? I said, yeah, I think so. He said, oh. So then I watch him take his dollar and put it back in his pocket. A little rat. I was buying him stuff all week long, and he wouldn't give me a buck. But about the time you get feeling somebody, you get a grandkid that tells you you're not. And let's say a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into the message this morning. Father, it is a joy to be here. I sure do love these kids. I thank you for their goodness and their willingness to serve you. I pray that you'll help me to help them today. In your name we pray. Amen. When looking for students to come to Hiles Anderson College in the last 8 years, 7 years traveling for the college, I've been part of the tour group, preachers that have gone out, something that I have actually thoroughly enjoyed. And traveling with the young people has been a joy, but also going to different churches, many of your churches and many of you that we had been able to meet over the past several years. And some of you have decided because of those meetings to come to college, and that's a thrill to see on campus today and to see others who have graduated and others who are out in the ministry now. That is what I call a blessing part of my life. I get to enjoy that. But I'm often asked, when you're traveling, you know, what do you look for? When you're looking for a student at Hiles Anderson College, what kind of student are you looking for? I mean, what are the qualifications that you ask God to show you? And it's a loaded question, but the truth is, you know, great amount of prayer from a lot of different people goes into those tours. Because, you know, and I must admit there were years and times where if you had a pulse, we would want you here. But it is not that way anymore, I don't think. At least it's not for me and for those that I travel with. There are some applications that we've received while on tour that I have taken from the, when they've turned them in, I've taken them and I've taken them out back and I've ripped them up and I've thrown them away. And there are others that I looked at and looked at their names and written their names down and been praying for them. And I, because I do believe that God wants a, not just anybody to come to this college, but I believe a select few to come to this college. And I hope you understand when I say that. I'm not excluding anybody. There are a lot of colleges in the world. And a lot of colleges with different emphases, a lot of different purposes. And that would work for most students, but there's a different atmosphere in this school. There's a different goal for you students, and I believe we have a different purpose. And the kind of young person that we look for is somebody that we're going to read about in just a moment in the life of David, and somebody that has that fire in their eye. Somebody that has that spirit about them, somebody that has that heart for God already, or at least they want that heart for God. And I don't think every high school junior or senior has a heart for God. But I have met many that have a want for that. They don't understand what a heart for God means, and they don't get it. But it's something they would like to have. And they have something inside of them that burns a little bit to serve the Lord. And that's who we're looking for. We were at a, several years ago, we were at a Christian school, and we just had a phenomenal, phenomenal chapel service in a Christian school. And we've got a lot of applications. Every one of those kids, I would have loved to have seen them here at college. Several of them did come. We went to another Christian school the next day, and we had fewer kids there. We didn't have anybody fill out applications. We had one of the best presentations we've ever had, but we didn't get one application. And we got out, and we were heading back to the van, and the group was very somber and very disappointed. And I said, because I could read their minds, I said, I am not upset we did not get any applications. They all stopped, and they said, well, why is that? And I said, because I wouldn't have wanted any of those students to come to this college. And all of them said, man, praise the Lord. Brother Eddie, we don't want them there either. And that wasn't a harsh statement saying we don't like those or we're being bigoted to other schools or any kind of other people. It was the fact that they did not have the spirit of Hiles Anderson. And they didn't even have the want for that. There was nothing inside of them that says, you know what, it might be nice to serve the Lord. There's nothing in their heart that said, you know what, that might be a great life to live. But I do believe that most all of you here today have that spark in you. You have that joy of the Lord. I can hear it when you sing. I got to watch it Sunday night on the night bus going home and enjoyed that and seeing the enthusiasm, the love for the kids. That's what I'm talking about. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to look at the characteristics of David here. I'm not going to go into the whole story of David's life, but I want you to look at several things and then keep your Bibles open. We're going to spend much time in our Bible. I've got a long introduction and a short message, all right? Verse 1, if you look at it, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Look down at verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now look at, you know, we have it right there in front of us that it's not, doesn't mean that the outside appearance doesn't matter, but God knows what's inside of us. And God is going to choose people for his service for a grander, if I may. Doesn't make us any better than anybody else, but we are in a different position and a different opportunity in life, and that's to serve the Lord. I want you to look in verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And that had to be a magical moment in the house of Jesse, at least for seven other boys that didn't get the nod. And all of them knew what was going on by this time, I'm sure. And then he pours this horn of oil on young David, the shepherd boy. Look over in verse 18. And of course, now this is after Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord is lifted from Samuel, and he's grieved, and he's grieved because he feels the presence of God that has gone from him. Now it's on David in verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that he is cunning in playing and mighty, valiant man of war, and prudent in matter and comely person, and the Lord is with him. And wherefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And here Saul was grieved and needed somebody to come and play the instruments for him. And they chose David to do so, not knowing that he had now been anointed as the next king of Israel. Very interesting story and just a series of events there. Now you see David here, just some characteristics about him. First of all, he lived simply. He was the least of his father's household. He wasn't anybody special. In fact, God's not looking for special people. God makes special people. God has looked for somebody that he can make strong, the Bible says. And you think, well, I'm not gifted. I'm not, I don't have all the attributes that a great leader would have. God will make you into what the leader you're supposed to be. He lived simply. He was the youngest of his father's household, and he was just the shepherd boy. He lived humbly as the shepherd boy, lived in caves as a young man. Even after being anointed king, running from the king, he's okay with living with a few men that decided to follow him and running from cave to cave. Didn't seem to bother him. I'm sure he didn't like it. I'm sure he'd much rather had been home and rather been in training for the palace, but he was humbled in his early days, but he was honorable as well. A man of young man of character, left his sheep with a keeper when he went out to see the battle and feed his brothers and see the Goliath there breathing out threatenings. He was also honorable in his character in training for music and as a harpist, as an athlete. I don't think he went up before Goliath just with God guiding that stone. I believe God was with him, but I do believe that he was a skilled athlete. I believe he knew how to work that slingshot. I believe everything that he did, he worked hard at. He practiced, and he just didn't get up and say, I wonder what this thing does. Oh, it's a slingshot. Let me try it on this. No, he already knew that he had the capabilities to defeat a Goliath. He'd killed a bear. He'd killed a lion. He had the character to protect his sheep that most of us would have probably allowed that bear to have at least one of them. But he, as a shepherd boy, took his responsibilities with great intent and great character. His honorable life, though, had times of failure, like all of us will have, but one of the things I love about David throughout his life, when he failed big, but when he repented big. He owned his mistakes. He never ran from them. He never tried to run from God and hide. The only time he ever took off was when he got discouraged because of Saul chasing him and went off to Ziklag. But the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba and the numbering the people, those things God forgave him because he owned it. He asked God for forgiveness and accepted his punishment. He lived for God. Another character trait. The Bible calls him in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, that he was a man after God's own heart. His heart was there, ready to love God, and just he wanted to learn more about God. He met God in caves and in valleys, and learned to write music and to write songs that we would sing, and we sing to this very day, and we read when we're going through times of trouble. And David learned to muse in his heart the things and the goodness and look at his hardships not as things that were to weigh him down, but that were to make him stronger and to renew his relationship with God. These weren't pleasant times, but he used them as opportunities to get closer to his Lord and to do things that would help others and to write things that have helped others even as this very day. He was loyal to God's man. Here is one of his great character traits, and we read about it, we study it, we preach it, that he would not lift his hand against God's anointed, his own king that was trying to chase him down and kill him. He had great respect for the man of God, the leaders of God. And I will tell you something that is missing in today's Christianity, and we've fallen suit to making those in leadership the butt of every joke, because that's part of our DNA, it seems like, anymore. But it's also in our churches, and it's in our colleges, and where we will criticize and we'll make fun of God's men. You have no business doing that. There's a preacher that preaches in this pulpit, preaches something that you don't care about, you shut your mouth. You show great disrespect to the men of God when you think you know more than they do, and you might at some point in time. But you don't need to tell everybody about it. You don't need to criticize. You have respect for God's men. They belong to God. And David had great respect for his king. And though he even knew he was going to fill that responsibility one day, he still would not lift his hand against Saul. But here's the thing that I love maybe even the most, is when he stood before Goliath, and he stood next to his brothers, and he was telling his brothers and other soldiers to go out and fight that beast, and why don't you go after him, and why don't you take a sword, and his brothers came and said, David, what are you doing? We know the naughtiness of thine heart. And David said, what are you talking about? Is there not a cause? That's what I'm looking for when I travel and I look in the eyes of young people who are wanting to go to Bible college. I'm not looking at kids that want to do something big. I'm not looking at kids that want to make their mark in this world. I'm not looking at kids that want a position. I'm looking for kids that have a cause in their heart. A group of kids that say, you know what, I don't know what I can do for the Lord, but I'd like to do what Brother Palmer preached about last night. I'd like to do something. I don't know where God will put me in life. I don't know if he'll put me on a platform or put me in a pew. But whatever God puts me there, I'm going to make it big. I'm going to do my best for God because I've got something inside of me that says I want to serve him. I want to do something for him. That's what I'm looking for. And there are you young people here, I believe you have that. I believe you're here today not because your parents made you come. I believe you're here because you had that cause and you have that cause in your heart. Let me just tell you something about David. David was great at doing what he was doing and doing things for God as long as he had a cause. The day he stayed home from battle, by the way, is the day that he slept with Bathsheba. The day the cause no longer becomes important and it becomes a sideline, that's the day that sin begins to happen and things start going different in your life. And he committed adultery and impregnated a woman and had a legitimate child and conspired to murder. And everything in his life began to go downward and his reputation was gone. And David wasn't the great giant in the eyes of people because I'm sure it got found out what he had done. You know, fighting for a cause shows selflessness. It shows that you don't care about the things of yourself. And the wife that David slept with, her husband would not even go home and sleep with her when David called him because he had a cause. He knew he was supposed to be at battle and he wasn't going to go home and enjoy the pleasures of his household because he knew, but yet David was home enjoying selfishness. not selflessness. And when you get to that place to where the ministry becomes about you, and it becomes no longer about the cause, and no longer becomes about, you know, filling my bus and helping people, it becomes about what can I do? How can I be a captain? Can I do big? Can I have a great number? It becomes about that. Then all of a sudden, sin starts to get into your life. And your selflessness becomes selfishness. And selfishness always divides relationships. And it will divide your relationship between you and God. It will divide your relationship between you and your spouse one day. It will divide relationships between you and your people one day. And you'll wonder why your people aren't following you, and they're not loving you, and they're not obeying you. And because you're in it for you. And I've seen this with Christian workers. I've seen it with college students. I've seen it with those that have been in the ministry a little time and a long time. David was great. He was wonderful as long as he was fighting giants. But when he turned his attention to himself, he failed. When he became a victim, he stopped becoming a warrior. We go to the story, and we'll turn to it, of Ziklag. And David found, when he went to Ziklag, he was discouraged because Saul was chasing him. Without going into the story, David becomes a Philistine. He gets discouraged. David should have stayed in caves. And I'm not going to slight him because we've all been there. David was discouraged because he'd spent all of his life up to this point running from a king whose position he was supposed to have one day. And whether he thought God failed him or whether he got impatient with God, he went and he became a Philistine. Probably still called himself a warrior, but he wasn't fighting for the cause. He was fighting for himself. He was fighting for the Philistine. He was killing women and children. He was becoming and living like a Philistine. Until God got a hold of his heart one day, and Saul had been killed, and David got right with his God and began fighting giants again. And you listen to me, listen carefully. God has a plan for each and every one of you, and I believe you're sitting here today with a cause in your heart. You got to keep that. You got to keep it. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look in verse 1. I'm going to grab this water here in a second here. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, and I want you to take your pen, I want you to circle a couple of words. Thou therefore, this is of course Paul writing to a young Timothy, and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Circle those two words. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, be strong. Let God be your strength. In the grace of Jesus Christ, God's supernatural help. Be strong. If you're going to try to be strong by yourself, you know, and you know, I'm mighty, you know, you're that kind of person. No. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You will never be able to live the Christian life. You will never be able to be a strong Christian on your own. You can't do it. Others have tried and others have failed. But you can be strong in the grace of God. And ask God's help and strength for you. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Circle faithful men. You continue doing it through faith. Through faith. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Through faith. You have no idea what tomorrow holds for you. You worry about tomorrow's problems today, and that's a sin. You let tomorrow's problems be tomorrow's problems. Don't steal from tomorrow's. Deal with what you got to deal with today. Because you know what? Your faith in God will take care of you tomorrow. But he's telling, be fit to faithful men who shall be able to teach. Circle the words, able to teach others also. In other words, God wants you to be faithful to what you're doing and be able to find others that are like you and teach them what you have learned. You learn to find your strength in God, not in yourself. And stick it out, have faith in God, and teach others to do the same. Thou therefore, Circle endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Living for the Lord and living in the ministry, you're going to have some awesome days and some wonderful moments and just some exhilarating times, but you're going to have some awful days. If I may, yesterday was a lousy day in the ministry. It was a lousy day. We read last night eight funeral announcements. We had three people pass away yesterday. I mean, dealing with people who were grieving and setting up funeral, you know, that is not a good day. But you know, God's grace brought us through, and God, I believe, prepared Brother Palmer last night to preach a wonderful message. And it was a sweet service last night. But you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man ever warreth, and here's one I want to get to, entangleth himself. Satan will do his best to entangle you with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You may have volunteered, but God chose you first. God chose you first. And God doesn't want you getting entangled. And I see it happening all the time. I see our students, and you're easy prey. You're easy prey for businessmen who want you to come work for them. You know why? Because you got fire in your eyes. You're a good hire. You got character. You got discipline. You show up on time. You know how to say yes, sir, or no, sir, yes, ma'am. You know how to handle people. You're not scared to work with people, to help people, and meet their problems. And businessmen, yeah, they ain't want you here. They're going to offer you money. Though you may have a cause today, and all of a sudden Satan says, yeah, but let me offer them a few dollars more. Let me offer them a lofty position. And all of a sudden we start making money, and we start bringing in a lot of money. And as a college kid, you don't have a lot of money. We take it from you. That's what we do best, because we don't want you to be entangled with it. But you're going to have businessmen that are going to try to, and I don't blame them. I would if I was them. But when you have a cause, you don't think about yourself. You think about the cause. You think about the things God wants you to have. And the opportunities that the world may bring to you. Sometimes even maybe fear that going into the ministry, and I don't think I can handle that, or I don't think I can do that. Listen to me and listen carefully. That's when your faith comes in. That's when you put your trust in God and let God take care. You're going to find yourself getting entangled with things, and maybe with people and sinful people, and maybe a sinful girl or a sinful boy that'll lead you astray in sinful doctrine. And Satan will work his way to get in there. But as long as you have that fire, that spit in your eye, to seek God's will and to do God's will, you say, well, what am I supposed to be in life? That's not important today. Amen. The cause is what's important today. Your heart for God, your soul winning, you're preparing right now. You're learning to love people. You're learning to be that good soldier for Christ.
Amen. Good.
You've got to watch Satan try. He'll do his best to lead you to a different path. I want you to take your Bibles one more time for me, if you would. And I want to read with you. I want you to read with me, if you'll follow along with me, in Matthew chapter 6. A great passage and great teaching here. Look in chapter 6, if you would, in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If the therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we drink, or wherewithal we shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What that last verse talks about means, you know what, don't let your today's steal to your tomorrow's thunders. Tomorrow, the pains and the hardships are going to be there. You deal with what you're supposed to deal today. Amen. Have faith that God will help you through tomorrow. Amen. I believe with all my heart that every single person in this room would serve God today gladly. You would line up here and gladly serve God if you knew God would take care of you. Amen. If you knew God would provide for you. If you knew that God would give you clothes and give you money and give you a house to live in. If you could serve God, you would have the necessities of life. I think every single one of you would do it. But we have fear, don't we? We have fear that, you know, unless I make a lot of money, I will never have those things. When I was asked to be our youth pastor at First Baptist Church, I was leaving construction to work for the church to make $9,000 a year. I was married. My wife worked at the church. She made $7,000 a year. 2 years later, she got pregnant, and she was had her first daughter, Stacy, and she quit work at the church. I was back to $9,000 a year. He said, well, how'd you make it? I don't know, but during that time, we bought a house. And during that time, we moved to a much larger house. And I got more stuff in my basement. I'm praying for a flood right now so I can get rid of the junk in my basement. I got more things than I need. And if you ask me, how'd you get all that stuff for a little peanut? I don't know. I really don't know. But God has always provided. And I can stand here and I can spend hours. I don't have a second job. You know, God has used me to preach a little bit here and there, but I don't have a business that I run. When I gave my heart, my life to God, I gave it all to Him.
Good.
And I have a trade. I have a construction trade. And there are times when God has given me a side job to where I've gone and remodeled a room for somebody, or I laid some carpet, or I painted a room. I've mowed grass. I've measured for carpet. I've done a lot of things from time to time. But I never got a business that I got into that took me away from my cause.
Amen.
Because I found out that I cannot serve God and mammon.
Right.
And one of the things that I fear the most about you, and those of you with the fire in your eye, those of you that have the heart for God, is that Satan's going to get you through your great abilities.
Right.
And your abilities that you're being trained here to hone. Your skills with people. And your love for money. Because every one of us have that. Every preacher in this room will lie if we don't get into our car and check what our love offering was. Because you know what? We live. It takes money to live. And the truth is, but when we get to that love of money, to where it controls what we do, and all of a sudden the selfless life that we decided to live becomes a selfish life, then all of a sudden, you know what? Satan will start dividing our relationships. and our relationship with God will wane. And you'll find as you look through the life of David, that heart of a warrior failed several times when God was indifferent in his life, when it became all about him. Hey, Joab, let's number the people. Let's see how many soldiers we have. Let's see how many chariots we have. We need to see how big we are. And even his soldiers and even many of the two of the tribes decided this isn't a good idea. And it ended up costing David's people, 70,000 of them, their lives. You listen to me, listen carefully. I'm looking at a group of on fire young people. People who have a heart for God, a zeal for the ministry. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Fight giants. Fight giants. Don't get in the battle for yourself. Don't try to get glory. Just, you know what? You're not going to want to get up on Saturday morning, but the cause will get you out of bed. You're not going to want to ride the night bus on Sunday night going home, but the cause will put you back on that bus. You're not going to want to go soul winning, but the cause will do it. The cause. And you learn to live for the cause. You'll be a missionary one day. You'll pastor a church for a very long time. You'll stay in a ministry like Brother Young has, and these men up here faithfully serve God. But you live for the cause. But seek ye first, right? Seek ye first. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. I pray this has been a help to somebody today. Thank you for this student body. May they forever be reminded of the fire that is in their heart and soul that brought them to this place today. And may they be used greatly by you. But may they sanctify themselves to you today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.